It's the Matt Bubala Show on 720 WGN. As we head into October, we might be talking more about spooky, scary things, things like that. But Shantae gave me a story from this week out of Washington, but it's an international story, that exorcisms are on the rise. Experts from the Catholic Church in Italy and the U.S. have said that more people are dabbling in the occult and black magic and things like that. I don't know if I really believe in any of that. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. I don't know. When those stories come out, they do scare me. I will admit that. And The Exorcist is one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. But how much do we really – do you believe or not in us being able to be in touch with other spirits, souls, things like that? Let's find out a little bit more about that. Tracy Dunblazer is a spiritual empath, a shaman, an educator, an author, and speaker. She's based in L.A. I'm reading all of that off of her website. She joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Tracy, how are you?
Hello there. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Now, I'm going to tell you right off the bat that for the most part, when it comes to this stuff, I really don't believe in it. So don't freak me out and tell me something about my life that's true, and then I'm going to be freaked out for the rest of the night. But for the most part, I don't believe that people are talking to us or that we can connect with other worlds, things like that. Now, I guess I just don't believe that because it always seems hokey when I hear of it, psychics and things like that.
Right.
So I guess I probably could be swayed pretty easily on something like that. But I just feel like there's a lot of hoaxy stuff out there. So I generally go with, that's hooey.
Right.
You are a spiritual empath. What does that mean?
As an empath, it's my expertise to live in the world of illusion and delusion and to witness or watch the process of creation into the physical world. So I spend a lot of time in the creative process, being psychic, clairaudient, clairsentient, clairvoyant, which means I see energy is palpable to me. And being an empath means I take on the energy sometimes of other people or experiences. And because I experience it myself, I'm better able to have an understanding. It's like walking a few minutes in somebody else's shoes.
So when you say you really see somebody's energy, like when if you were with me right now and you were looking at me, you might see literally sort of a color around me or something like that, that you would be able to feel that other people can't see?
Well, Matt, I don't want to freak you out.
Oh, God,
I hope you're sitting.
Go. God, don't do this.
But I actually don't have to be there with you. Time and space is irrelevant to me because we have our physical world, right? Our physical experience. And right now, your physical experience and my physical experience is coming together and we're creating a new dimension, which is our conversation.
Okay.
So you came in with your experiences. I don't believe this. This is a bunch of hokey. And I come in with, this is my whole life. And I totally get it, and it makes sense to me.
Okay.
So you and I are going to come together, and we're going to, through our discussion, create a new dimension of understanding for both of us, right? How can you understand and connect with me, and how can I find a way to understand and connect with you?
Okay.
Right?
At the end of this, are you going to tell me something freaky about myself that, like, there's no way you could have known?
Maybe. It may not be all the way at the end. It might happen somewhere through the process. Who knows what could happen?
Okay.
Because anything could happen. An empath means that I feel things first. So that's one of the first things that I do is, I feel what you're saying, Matt, and I don't think you're as much of a skeptic as you say.
Okay.
I think it's easier for you to say you're skeptical, therefore you don't have to own anything else. And it's also just not a part of your interest necessarily on a day-to-day basis to delve into it. But you are clearly interested enough to even be open to this story and to have this kind of a conversation.
Okay, fair enough. That is true. That is true. So let's start with the exorcism stuff, and then I want to get more into what you do. But since that was our introduction to each other, the story is that exorcisms are up around the world. People are dabbling in black magic or the occult or things like that. Exorcisms are real. There are demons that inhabit people's bodies. Do you buy that?
Absolutely. Here's the thing, though. Let me give a little context to this. So an exorcism is specifically a Catholic rite. And in order for a person to receive an exorcism by a Catholic exorcist, they have to be verified. and they have to be acknowledged as somebody who is actually demonically possessed and probably possessed to the point of no return without church help. And that's really important. Most people will not fit into that category. Most of us have spiritual afflictions, right? Or spiritual influence.
Okay.
Right? And that's a whole other thing. So,
okay.
So demons do exist, and there are people who see them, experience them, and are deeply influenced by them.
Are people possessed outside of the Catholic Church, or is that something we've sort of created as Catholics that can only be solved by Catholics? Are there any Lutherans walking around and people going, wow, I think they're possessed, or does that only happen to Catholics?
Everybody experiences it on some level. All religions that I have studied, and I've done some general study of many different cultures and their spiritual paths, and everybody has a way to conceptualize the devil and or demons. For me, I like to define it as the devil is the world of illusion, right? It's those things that you might think about yourself or me or another person that you wouldn't necessarily say out loud or don't even know you're thinking, right? And the world is where your fears and your desires live. It's that world, right? And that's where all of our stuff begins. Now, when there are actual entities, right, that we call demons, and a demon is an energy or an entity that is never incarnated in a physical body in our world. They are energy, but their energy is palpable, and when they're here, it's because they've been invited on some level by someone at some time.
Intentionally,
intentionally
invited? I mean, like, they did a seance or they did something, or just because you were being a bad person, or committed terrible acts, you're inviting a demon to, align with
right.
you.
So sometimes both. You brought up a really good point, because sometimes people actually, I had a client one time who, he didn't believe they existed. So he says, if you exist, show me. And so a demon came to him, and he didn't sleep for like 4 years.
For real?
For real. I am not kidding. It's one of the stories that I tell in the book, because it's, people they don't believe and they don't know how it works, so they call on it. One of the things I do want to say is there's a fear out there that people say, oh my God, if I inquire, that means I'm going to draw it to me and then I'm going to be attacked or possessed. And that's just not a possibility.
Where are all these rules coming from, Tracy? You say that's not a possibility. This can happen. That can happen. How do you know all these things? I mean, just because it's come to you or you've studied it? I mean, this seems like, and one of the reasons I think I can say, I'm skeptical is because there's no hard and fast rules on how this works. It's all based on your belief or your willingness to be open to these things. You know what I mean?
That is absolutely a perspective to have. But just because you believe that doesn't mean it's true. Or just because you don't believe in demons don't mean that they don't exist, or don't mean that you can't be impacted on some level by them.
Sure, but like you said that person was worried that because they inquired about it, they're going to get possessed or something's going to happen. You said that can't happen. You couldn't really say that, right? I mean, because anything could happen. We've established that, right?
Well, no, what I mean by that, two things. One is, I this is my knowing, because these are my experiences.
Okay.
And so in your experience, that doesn't happen.
Just because you inquire doesn't mean you'll be possessed or something bad will happen in your experience.
Well, what I'm specifically relating to is, I know a lot of folk who are religiously active. And sometimes if it's coming from a culture that believes in demons, there's also a huge fear of demons. And so the belief in that culture or that frame of reference from that religion is that if you call on it or if you take notice of it, then you call on it and bring it to you. And what I'm saying is that that's not what brings it to you. If you have an awareness and an openness to any otherworldly entity, then you have the ability to recognize and be present to any nature of energy, demon or otherwise.
So I.
But usually people who have the most fear of demons are usually the ones who are the most afflicted and are just empowered. They're just disempowered to deal with it because they're fearful of it. That's what I'm trying to create as the big picture.
We're speaking with Tracy Dunblazer. Her book, The Demon Slayer's Handbook Series, her first book in that series, A Practical Guide to Mastering Your Inner World, is out now. You can find out more at TracyDunblazer.com. I'll give you the spelling of that when we return. I'm going to settle down for a second, and then we're going to see what try to wrap my head around this and talk about – I want to find out from Tracy, how in touch can we really be with other people that aren't here, or with our souls of the living? Can we truly interact in a way different than how we do in our real lives? We'll ask those questions next. Matt Bubala with you on 720 WGN. It's the Matt Bubala Show on 720 WGN. We're speaking with Tracy Dunblazer. She's an empath, a shaman. She gets in touch with things that we don't normally get in touch with. Her new book in the she's got a series coming out, the Demon Slayer's Handbook series. The first book is called Master Your Inner World, Embrace Your Power with Joy. Do I have that right, Tracy?
That is perfect.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about. I want to understand. You can see energy, and you can see things in all of us. What can we do? So I'm someone who, as I said, I'm not really a believer in this, and you called me out and said, I think you're not as not a believer as you want. That's an easy way for you to stay out of it and stay away from it. So for regular people walking around, how in touch can we get with ourselves, and is that what we're talking about, or with other people around us?
I think that the first thing is to listen to yourself. And what that means, there's a thing called mindful meditation, and it's not like, you know, sitting on the mountain or in the cave and trying to block all thoughts from your consciousness or your mind, right? It's not that. Mindful meditation is just becoming acutely aware of every thought that you have, every feeling that it promotes, and allowing that to flow through you as opposed to be repressed or oppressed in some way, right? So, the first step is to become aware. Become aware of yourself, how you think. People in general have a natural affinity for being victimized. And when I say being victimized, it's living in victimhood, as if your life happens to you rather than you being able to be empowered in it. Mm. Right? And there's a long journey. I'm not saying that those, you know, there are victims in the world and people, in fact, are victimized. But once you've actually been victimized in some way, the next part of that journey is to recognize that there was a process that led you to that point. And that on some level, you may have had some awareness of it. And the more awareness you have, the more you can make different decisions that lead you to different opportunities and experiences. Right? That's the kind of long and short of coming from the physical world, from being victimized in a situation, to drawing back and looking at how you ended up in that place and what you could have done differently to shift it.
And that sounds to me like something we would do with any therapist, right? Look deep in ourselves, what we've learned, what we've done wrong, what we'd like to do better. So where does the spiritual aspect of this come in? Where does the aspect come in that I wouldn't have by sitting on a therapist's couch, the supernatural part of this?
The supernatural part is that there are, I can't even give it a number, there are just billions more pieces of information coming at you from all levels. You get it mentally in your thoughts, you get it in your analysis, you get it in your emotions, you get it in your spirit. You can, we have access to a lot more information, right? And so it's kind of like the concept of when it's one of the ways that we're trying to deal with terrorism, right? Mm-hmm. We believe that terrorists have the control because we don't know what they're going to do and when they're going to do it. And so we've created this whole new mantra in our world that if you see something, say something. Okay? So let's backtrack on that and say, if you feel something, what is it you feel? And where is it coming from? And why are you feeling that? Right? In order for me to do that and be aware of information out in the world with other people, I first have to walk through who I am and why that energy becomes, why I begin to perceive that information in the first place. So everybody has spirit guides, right? They're spiritual entities. Sometimes they are people that we know. Sometimes they're ancestral. Sometimes they are ancestral means that they have lived in our specific family, our DNA family. And then sometimes we have spirit guides that are a part of our spiritual family, and they resonate with us. And oftentimes those guides are meant to expand our thinking on whatever kind of thinking we're stagnant in, right? But it's an inner process rather than an outer process. When you go to a therapist, the therapist sits there and listens to you talk. If you come to a spiritualist or people go to a psychic, the psychic talks. And then you can confirm or deny whatever the information is, right? But it makes you go through the process internally, and it really takes you to another level of dealing with your inner truth, the part of your truth that you may not have yet been brought up to your conscious mind for review.
So is that really different than what you do in like an intense therapy session?
I think the results ultimately are the same. I know for me, when I work with people, they come to me and usually they're ready for a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
So usually we have a transformation within that session that might appear to be, you know, a miracle or something that's really, you know, a profound aha moment. When in fact the person, therapy or not, or no therapy, they've been working on it up until the point it needed to become conscious to them, which becomes the session.
Okay.
So, but kind of bringing this into the understanding of the spiritual world, because it's easy to go into the self-help analysis place, which, you know, that's one of my favorite places to go. to really address spirituality and otherworldly entities, right? There are entities that are discarnate. They were killed or died, and their spirit stayed here near, you know, in our realm, near our world, mm-hmm. right? They're kind of like the next level over, and some people can see them. A ghost is actually not a discarnate. A lot of people don't know that. A ghost, every soul has energy, and that energy leaves an imprint. And when people see a ghost, that's what they're seeing, is they're seeing not the actual soul, but they're seeing the imprint of that soul. And that's why, so for example, here in Los Angeles, we have the Queen Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And people always talk about a little girl crying near the pool at the Queen Mary. And everybody that goes there swears they see it. When I went, I didn't really see it anymore because she's not there. But what is there is the imprint. It's the energy that's there that people, they want to have some sort of recognition of that world, and so they see her. She shows up for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So it's something we want to see, right? We've heard about it, we've read about it, and we want it to be there?
Yes, or it'll be helpful for it, because a lot of people see things that they don't want to see. But that just is an indication of the work that they need to do to, on a deeper level, accept themselves.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's interesting. We're talking about this, and it's the reason why people who are skeptical, they're not really skeptical because they just want to be, you know, irreverent. It's that they really just, they don't have those experiences.
Yeah.
Because they don't put their focus there. Right? And my goal in writing this book is meant for anybody who's attracted to it. Right? It's meant to educate a skeptic, not to change their perception of the world, but to help them better understand that right now we are living in a time, and this leads to the article about the exorcisms, we are living in a time where more people on the planet than any other time are experiencing and having to transform and work through their spiritual traumas.
Okay.
And those traumas may be from past life, it might be from this life, it might be a cultural trauma or a collective trauma. right? We're a collective of people. You know, slavery was a collective trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Many people suffered. And those people who lived that most likely didn't get to grieve their loss. And so now we're seeing a bunch of people who are warriors for their cause, and they are working through that grief in all the ways that you're seeing.
All right.
Does that make sense?
It does. Sure. I guess, you know, I hate to be the radio host. It's like, come on, give me the shocking stuff. But you sound so practical. You sound so practical, Tracy. This sounds like, you know, a good therapist to sit and chat with and get in touch with yourself and figure things out. And so I guess I wonder, you know, where's the spiritual stuff? I'm talking to my Aunt Ethel, who I haven't seen in 40 years. That's, I think, what we're all kind of expecting to come out of this. You sound too reasonable and rational.
Well, see, and that's thank you. Thank you so much, because you know what? I need to stand up for my people. I mean, come on. When you hear something about a psychic or a new age, you think that they are wackadoo.
Yes.
And if you need something from them, then that's great. But other than that, they're crazy. They're batshit crazy, and you don't want to deal with them, or you make fun of them.
Yes.
So I am that middle ground person. Here's the thing. Not everybody has the, you know, these fantastic spiritual experiences. But the more you expand your awareness, the more you become perceptive of, say, the trees talking to you, the animals that have a thought or a feeling or a word or energy of support for you, you know, or you for them, right? There's a whole big world that is so far beyond us being humans that most people don't get the joy of and the pleasure of, because they disregard it and they stay in the physical world as if the only way to have satisfaction in life is to maybe have a mate, have a job, have a family. Right? And there's a lot more than that on every level. But if you want some wacky stuff, I got some stories for you.
All right, we got a couple minutes left. Give me a wacky story. Blow me away. Get me to believe, Tracy. Get me to believe.
Oftentimes I have dreams. That's one of the many ways, and especially at the very beginning, that was always the way spirit came to me. And when I was a child, I used to experience a lot of demonic attack.
Oh.
Now, I grew up, I was baptized Methodist, but we never went to church. And I, by my choice, went to church with all of as many friends who would take me to every different church or synagogue or whatever they would take me to. I would go because I was having all of this spiritual conflict, this whole spiritual struggle, and this warfare. That's really what it is a spiritual warfare. And this one night, I woke up to this critter. It was a demon, and it was on me. It was on all fours. It had creepy arms and like muscular forearms, and its skin was kind of smooth, and it was disgusting. And I kept praying, and what I ended up doing is I went in to saying the Lord's Prayer. And in my life, I had not learned it yet. I was like 7 or 8 years old, and I hadn't yet fully learned the Lord's Prayer. I'm sure I'd heard it in church, but I recited it word for word. And as I recited it, psst, the thing left. Now, then go to the next generation as I hit puberty. I used to have dreams all the time of this, it was like a 1950s heroin dealer.
Okay.
He had a black straight leg pants and kind of pointy shoes and this white crispy shirt with the sleeves rolled up, and he literally would follow me around with a filled syringe that I knew was of heroin. And he was recurring all the way up until I was 25. And when I was in my 20s, I went to New York City, and I didn't expect to live past 25. And once I hit my 25th birthday, I had another dream that let me know that I had died, not of a heroin overdose. I was actually murdered. I was shot, but I was high on heroin. So I was never able to see beyond that point. And so living with that as it was a past life, what I call a past life imprint, or people who don't believe in past lives, it was a soul imprint, which we all have imprints, things that lean us towards a specific belief system or thought process, right? And we have a thousand different ones. You have them, I have them, right? So what I did with that is the more information I got, the more it allowed me to give that part of myself that was an addict a relief, a healing. You know, I allowed her to first of all, I delivered the spirit, because that's one of the things that there can be demons, and then there can be discarnate spirits who die unknowingly to them at the time, who are locked in that place in spirit because they can't move themselves out. That oftentimes happens when people kill themselves or they die in an accidental fashion. So I was able to, you know, at that time, it was only the homeless people who would come and talk to me about these things, because there was nobody to talk to about them. Do you know, since I have written this book, I have had three people and totally like my bank guy, my cable guy, and somebody else who, in the writing of the book while I was working on the producing of it, all told me that I was the first person that they ever told about the demonic attack they'd experienced.
Because they weren't afraid to tell anybody else, because they thought people just think they were crazy?
Exactly. Exactly.
When you talk about those dreams, though, and how they affected you, and that's a spirit that you helped set free, how do you know they weren't just really weird dreams?
Well, because in my world, there aren't really weird dreams. There is only communications from my higher self to myself, from my spirit to my consciousness. And by consciousness, I mean the person, the woman that is Tracy Dunblazer.
So all of us, when we have dreams and they're weird dreams or whatever, do you think that's not just a dream? That's some sort of message?
It's always a message. And no, I don't believe that you had chocolate the night before or you ate too much or any of those things. None of that. Now, it's okay for you to believe that if you want. That means you don't have a need or an interest. And by interest, I mean need. You don't need to have that further information.
Uh-huh.
But if you have a dream and you remember it, you know, chances are you need that information. You just haven't sat to consider it in a new way. You know, and that's why I was just so excited for the opportunity to have this conversation with you, especially because you're sort of skeptical, but you're really not. And I'm going to totally help you save face on that.
Okay, well, we've got a minute left. Help me save face on that.
That you are a person that reaches, I mean, this is the obvious, but you align with a lot of people, a lot of a far-reaching demographic.
Okay.
And so it's imperative for you to be able to play both sides, right? It's imperative for you to be your balanced self.
Okay.
Right? To be able to look at this side and be able to look at that side. That's a part of who you are. You're a mediator. You know, you are a warrior, but you are a mediator, and that's a specific thing. And the world needs you. The world needs you to be open-hearted and open-minded enough to listen to an opposing view without being ignorant or hateful about it.
Okay.
That seems to be the thing that we're having a difficult time with today, is we are so, some people are so scared that they then get ignorant and hateful. Right?
Sure.
People think that evil is like evil is people, but evil is a dynamic. Evil is such a limited myopic view of one thing that is immovable. And that's what we call evil. And most things aren't immovable. Most things can be moved in some way, shape, or form. But you have to move it first in yourself, and then that mirrors out. So that's the one thing that I really want to leave people with, and leave you with. You have an impact beyond your ability to receive it back. Meaning, you may never know the impact on the people that you do. Your balanced nature, your willingness to listen, to hear, and to enjoy the process of discourse is the thing that touches people and allows the seeds to be planted. And to me, that's the most powerful position to be in.
Well, these are very sweet things and nice things you're saying about me, but they're not swaying me over to believe in any of this at all.
And that's okay. I honestly don't think I could if I tried. I mean, by all means, like, again, there's something, the thing that you don't understand is, and I don't want to make it seem like I could tell you some stuff.
Sure.
But I honestly am not inclined to do that on air with you.
Okay.
At some point, if you ever wanted to do a separate thing, and record it, and then you can decide what you want to do with it. But I don't want to do it as a part of this. I want to do it separate.
Okay.
And then you can decide what you want to do with it.
All right.
If you want to or need to. Maybe you don't. I'm glad you listened, because I think that somebody out there needs to, in their secret life, know that somebody understands their pain. And we gave that to them. So, two thumbs up.
The book is called Master Your Inner World, Embrace Your Power with Joy. You can find out more at beaslayer.com. Her name is Tracy Dunblazer. Believe it or not, she's real and she's out there, and it's very interesting stuff. Tracy, thank you so much for jumping on the phone.
Thank you, Matt.